Must be time for church. Everybody's getting quiet. Okay, well, we are going to look at the next section of 1 John, and we are going to look at something that actually is pretty easy to just read over as being kind of religious words as you look for something where it's a little more tangible, a little more graspable. But that thing that we can very easily just read over is actually John's whole theme and his foundation for the book. And so I want to try to walk us to a place where we don't naturally grab stuff and just see if God can meet us in a way that gives us a connection that takes us where John wants to take us. So let's just pray. Let's just ask that God's word would be powerful. It's Jesus that brings power to his word. It's Jesus that talks to us. You know, if there's anything the Bible is clear about, is that knowledge in and of itself doesn't help any of us. Some of us have quite a bit of knowledge about the Bible here. I've looked at the Bible for a long time. But knowing the Bible is not a connection with God. Knowing the connection, a connection with God is a relationship with God. And really that's John's theme. It's about fellowship with God. And where God wants to take you today is God wants to take you to a place where you experience fellowship with him. And we are people that are pretty bad at relationship. If you think that, if you ever wonder, does God really want to know me? Does God really want to know me? Let me correct your thinking. You're the one that's bad at relationships, not him. He's been living in perfect relationship for an infinite amount of time, and you have yet to experience one perfect relationship for even a short time. We're the ones that don't do this very well. And God is inviting us into relationship. And really that's what 1 John is about, is how can we not be self-deceived? How can we find that place where we really do walk and live in that? And so that's our objective, is to have God speak to us about that today. So let's just pray, and let's just honestly in our hearts ask God to speak to us on the inside. Lord, it is not just information, even though this information is absolutely true. It's the only absolutely true thing we could read anywhere. And we can read your Bible and it's absolutely true. But in and of itself, it does not enter us into your presence. That takes an openness of our heart, a desire to be there, a willingness to listen, a recognition of who we are. And Lord, I pray you grant that to us. That is an amazing gift, Lord, if you can reach in and help us hear you. And I just ask God that you do that. Make us soft and tender on the inside. Help us to see and hear what you want us to see and hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so to go where we're going to go today, we got to back up and get a run at this again, because it is really, really important that we understand what John's trying to tell us here. And Pat did a great job of this yesterday, but we just got to go back and we got to reset that, because if we don't know who we're hearing from, we aren't going to hear what he wants to say. And so as we look at the first paragraph, and you can open your Bible, and we're not going to have any PowerPoints today. All we're going to have is just the Bible. And if you have one like I have, which I don't know if they're all like this, but if you are, you can open it to 1 John. I'll tell you even what page it is. If you don't have one like this and you go to the page that I mentioned, you will be in the wrong place. But 1 John's on 862 in this Bible. And we hear John really striving to try to put us in his place. And he starts out by saying that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And so, what John is trying to do here is he is trying to tell us where he's coming from. And John was a real person who wrote this. He wrote the Gospel of John. And he grew up in a conservative Jewish home in the land of Israel, and one of the things John was totally, completely convinced of was the existence of God. The existence of God described in this Bible, the God who dwells in infinite darkness, the God who charges Job with all the things that he brings into Job's world, the God that destroyed the nation of Egypt, the God who led Israel to the promised land and then into Babylon, the God who dwells in unapproachable light. To us, God isn't even a four-letter word oftentimes. He's just a three-letter word. It's just this word, God. But we have to understand that people who grew up where John grew up, they really believed in God. A very real being who ruled their world and who was in many ways completely unapproachable. Awesome, magnificent, holy, perfect, and utterly other. And then this guy, John, walked with someone for 3 years, and at the end of 3 years, he came to the conclusion that you are him. You're him. You are this God. And he saw miracles, but of course human beings had done miracles. He saw Jesus do amazing things, but there was something about this life. He watched this life and he went, whoa, this is God. And having walked with someone who went, I saw him. He manifested himself in a human life. And I walked with the one who made the world. And that life was so different. That life was so other that John tried to describe. It totally changed his life. And he went, whoa, I am completely different because I have seen what God is like. And not only that, but I've seen what human life is supposed to be like. I've seen what we're all supposed to be. I've seen it. And I don't know if you've ever gotten a chance to be with somebody, probably we all have, I certainly have, where I watch this person and I've never seen anybody like that, and just watching them, I go, whoa, my whole world has opened up. I now look at things really different. I have never known any dimension of life like I've just watched in this man's life, and there it is. And I am now different because of what I've seen in him. And I think that's supposed to be true in all of us. We all bring something that God doesn't reveal anywhere else. But there's people's lives, you just touch it, you're just different. When those guys walk with Jesus, they just went, whoa, 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 whoa. So many things are now real to us that we never even knew existed before. And so John comes and he says, how am I going to get to where I'm at? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not just trying to preach the Bible. Guys, I've seen something so amazing. It's utterly changed my life. Life, we touched it, we heard it, we saw it. And now I'm going to try to tell you, I'm going to try to communicate something so radically transforming that has become real to me because I got to be there and I know you haven't. How am I going to get it across to you? That's the guy who's trying to talk to us here. He's desperate to do more than communicate information. He's trying to pass on to us something that's changed his life. So when we read this, we can go, okay, whoa, 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 this guy really has had something amazing happen to him, and he's going to try to tell me about it. If we look at the Gospel of John, we see John trying to do this same thing. And let's just grab those verses, because we see John struggling and striving to do the same thing. On page 750, these are pretty familiar words to us. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then he says, "The Word became flesh," in verse 14, "and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So when I read the writings of John, I'm reading the writings of someone who had a deep reverence for God, a deep belief in God, and he had come to the conclusion, watching this man, that I saw God manifest himself to me in human life. Okay, so we now are talking to, we're listening to a guy who really believes that with the deepest understanding of what God is out of the scriptures in the Old Testament, he actually saw God manifest himself, and he got to walk with the manifested God for 3 years. And what would we do? We'd go, whoa, what happened? What happened? And give me the gist of it. Give me the gist of it. What did you take away? What was it like? What did you learn? What was the heart of it? And if you were to guess, okay, so, you know, we're Christians, we know the Bible thing, what would the heart of it be? Well, the heart of it would be what? Like, right, we're all sinful and we need a Savior, or that Jesus died on the cross, or the answer is always Jesus, right? And John gives an answer here that I think is unexpected. That's why I wanted to walk us up to this place. You're going to get what he says, this is my takeaway. This is my big takeaway right here. I walked with God. I saw life. And this is what I learned. And we look at 1 John. And he says this. "This is the message we heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Okay, John, what's your point? Let's go on. Let's get to something important. And you know what? You just read his theme. That is the theme for the book of 1 John. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. You know, I don't even get it. That's just religious words. And so often, even, you know, I just read over those and I go, okay, let's get to something a little more tangible here. But brothers and sisters, if you want what John is calling us to, which is fellowship with the Father and with the Son, you have got to get what he just said. Why did he say that? He's got this whole thing of like, I've been with God. I've walked with the manifested God. I've seen life. I've seen it. And here's the deal. God is light. Okay. I'm not sure I get it. What is he saying? God is light. Now, we can start trying to define light. What does that mean? And I want to let John define it a little bit more. So let's go back to the beginning of the Gospel of John. And we'll look at some verses, and we'll see if we can pick up. What are you saying, John? What are you after here? Where are you trying to take us? What is this thing that overwhelmed you and you give this to us as your theme? I just don't get it. It doesn't quite fit in the 5-page booklet. But when we look at the beginning of John, verse 750, we have the description of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Jesus saw this person, and when he saw this person, he said, that is life, that is life, that is life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And so we can draw out here, we can dig, we can, you know, we can process this a little bit, we can come up with this. Well, there was a life that Jesus, that John saw, and when he saw Jesus live life, he said, that is human life. That is what life is all about. That is the expression of what this is all meant to be. And when I see that life, it's like a light, and it shines on me, and I go, that's what I'm supposed to be like. That's how I'm supposed to live. There was a light that came out of Jesus. And then if we go on down to verse 9, he says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And so there's something in Jesus that gives light to me. And of course, it's his life. But we can go on to John chapter 3. You can just turn the page. And if we look at verse 19 of chapter 3, it says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. And so there's a darkness that people like us like. There's a darkness that hides things. There's a darkness that doesn't leave me exposed and vulnerable. And light has come in the life of Jesus, but there's something in people that says, I don't know if I want that. There's a dimension in which I prefer darkness because there's things about me that are not what they should be. And I want to cover them up. I want to lie to myself. I want to lie to you. I want to lie to the world. I just want the world to be the way I want it to be, and I will pretend. Jesus will expose me. Jesus will reveal me for what I am. Jesus' life. You know, everywhere Jesus went, one of the things that was true about Jesus is if you were in Jesus' presence, he was relating to you exactly who you were. There was no pretense. There was no artificial identity. There was no important people and unimportant people. There was none of this artificial status stuff. When Jesus addressed you, you had this sense of, he is talking to me and who I am. Light. We could look at other places where Jesus spoke about this, but let's just look at one more place in the book of Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And if we look at Ephesians 5, verse 12, it says this. For it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. There is something that reveals who we are, and it's found in Christ. And that revelation of God's light makes who and what we are utterly clear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, so just a couple pages earlier, on page 819. Paul is giving a list of things that contrast. And he says this in verse 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? There is no fellowship between light and darkness. And if we listen to what Jesus said to the woman at the well, you might remember this statement. Jesus said, the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So John is talking about light. When we look at the subject of light in the Bible and we look at what John is talking about, we go, John, what is the big thing you took away from being with Jesus? The big thing John took away is not about how, we're all sinful. Although John's going to get to that. Or, whatever else. What he took away was, hey, when you were with God, everything is exactly, completely, totally honest and real. He does not deal in artificiality in any way. And if you come to him and you bring that, he will rip it right to shreds. He will make you who you are in his presence. That's what I learned. That was my takeaway. That's the theme. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He will deal with us exactly based on who we are. And there's something in that is very unsettling, isn't there? But that's where the gospel starts, and he's gonna unwind that. The next verse says this: if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, verse 6, we lie and do not live by the truth. So if I go, I got fellowship with God, I've got fellowship, but I'm walking in the darkness, I'm presenting myself to you or to God or to myself in some way that's not really true, then I'm lying. God says, no, you don't have fellowship with me. You're not walking with me. If you want to walk with me, I will only walk with you based on who you really, truly are. What does this mean? A while back I got to have a remarkable experience with a woman. She was in her, I think, late 40s. Early 50s, and she was pretty successful, in a lot of ways pretty successful, very capable, pretty outwardly capable. There was a string of broken relationships behind her, a string of stuff that wasn't good at all, but there was a lot of outward stuff that really was good, and I was counseling with her, and she was just trying to figure out, why does everything in my life always go sour in the end, and through a series of conversations, she kind of finally said, you know what? When I was young, my mother continually told me that I was going to be a failure and disgrace the family. And she said, I remember the point, I remember the moment when as a little girl I said, I will never be that person that my mom told me I was destined to be. And she turned her heart and she lived her entire life proving she was not that person. But on the inside, she lived in desperate fear that she was going to be exposed as, that's who I really am. And as we talked, I was able to tell her, you know what? The only person that Jesus loves is that little girl that your mom said was going to fail. It's not this artificial identity that you've been living out for decades and that brought you your marriage and brought you your job and brought you all this stuff. And it's this person back here. That's who Jesus loves. That's who Jesus wants. And you know what? That's who needs to trust Jesus now. this person is okay. You can be this person and you can walk with God as this person. I don't know if that sounds weird to you. Can you simply say, God accepts me for who I am? That you belong in the presence of God. You are the only person he wants to know. You are the only one that can have fellowship with him. He will only have fellowship with you as you. And if you are trying to hide or deny or lie or pretend to be somebody you're not or present some image because, you know, how many of us struggle with, I want you to measure me by what I do. I want to impress you by what I do. I want you to define me by what I'm able to accomplish. I'm able to accomplish a lot. I'm able to do good things. I want you to define me that way. I am what I do. And you all look at me and you go, oh yeah, boy, John, he's pretty capable. He can do stuff. But that identity God says, I won't address you that way. I won't address you that way. John, I made you to connect with me in a different way. There's an identity that you bring before me that's truly who I've made. And yes, you can do certain things and you can accomplish certain things and good things are good things. But they're not you. And John, you've got to know that I love you and that I accept you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if I claim I have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness, I lie and do not practice the truth. And often the one that is the most deceived in all of it is me. You know, we think we know a lot about people, right? We live in a world that knows all about people. Listen to the radio, watch television, check the internet. Everybody knows everything about lots of people. I know how bad they are. I know how bad they are. I know how bad they are. And we are experts on other people. Oh, they're evil. Oh, they're bad. Oh, they're crazy. Oh, they're wicked. But God shows up in our world and says, listen, okay, you judge others and you measure others by your own standards and then you compare yourself to them and judge them and yourself by those standards. But who are you to me? There's people that know Donald Trump is an evil, wicked man. There's people that know Donald Trump is wonderful. Who is Donald Trump before God? There's all kinds of Democrats, liberals, whatever, that hate Donald Trump, know he's bad. But the point is, what about them? Who are they? Jesus would walk up and go, wait a minute, but you, who are you before me? At the same hand, there's lots of conservatives that hate the Democrats, that hate Donald Trump. And Jesus would walk up to them, but who are you before me? That's where God wants our heart to go. Who are you before him? Do you know that? That is how he will relate to you. When I say I'm in fellowship with him and yet don't know myself to that degree, I am lying. Verse 7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. But if I walk in the light as he is in the light, if I'm walking in the same light he's walking in, if we're seeing the same thing, if we're in the same world, it says we have fellowship with one another. I don't know exactly for sure what he's talking about here. Maybe he's talking about us as a fellowship, as a church. Where do we want to have real fellowship? Then we have to be known. I cannot have real fellowship. You can't have fellowship with me unless you really know me. I can't bring myself to you unless I'm really bringing me to you. So often our relationships are empty and shallow and meaningless. Why? Because we're not having real fellowship. We're not being truly, deeply honest. Because I'd rather hide. I like my fig leaves. I like my identities that I've created that give myself an image. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. But you know, actually, when we define it as our relationship with one another, we're taking it completely out of context. And it probably is true that he's talking about even something far more wonderful. Because from the very first paragraph that Pat read last week, what's John talking about? He says, listen, we have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and we want to share it with you. And all through this passage we've been in so far, it's about fellowship with God. And so what he's probably really saying is that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we, how could this be the we? The we, me and God. The we, me and God. We have fellowship with one another. Oh, God, that is so personal. You're using the word we and you're including me. A we, you and me, we have fellowship. You mean you have fellowship with me and I have fellowship with you? We have fellowship with one another? How could you even say that? It is so personal and so intimate. If I walk in the light as you are in the light, you're saying, John, we have fellowship. I have it with you. You have it with me. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light. Now remember, that whole phrase light still might be sort of confusing to us. To John, who saw Jesus and walked with him for 3 years and watched him relate to people and watched him be utterly loving but utterly honest, for him that word was incredibly clearly defined. He knew exactly what he was talking about. He knew what light was. He'd seen it. But all we can come up with is there's a reality, an integrity, an honesty, an openness, a genuineness, a realness that must be that light. And it says that when we do that, the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin. So when I'm honest, God can change me. Do you have things in your life that aren't changing, that you wish were changing? Well, one of the questions we can ask ourselves is, have you been utterly honest there? Have you been open? Have you been real? Have you been genuine? Have you been honest all the way down to the root? Because if we walk in the light, he purifies us from all sin. In verse 8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. So, If you say, hey, you know what, I'm not sure I really, I think I'm sort of through that, I'm kind of done with that, I don't have any sin. It says, if you claim you don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves. Another verse says, we lead ourselves astray. And if by chance you're one of these people, let me help you. I want you to think about other people. I want you to think about the other people you know really, really well. Is there anybody that you know really, really well that doesn't have some weirdness to them? They got their blind spots. They got their things they can't really see. They've got their little selfish things. They've got their buttons you can push. Would you look at them and go, oh, yeah, there's no sin in their life? They're created to be exactly like God, and then they're like that. I go, no, they got their weirdness. They do. There's certain areas you just sort of step around. There's certain areas you're careful with. It's just who they are. That's you. Someone right now is thinking about you. We are not without sin. Sin simply means to fall short. To fall short. Oh my goodness, if that's all sin means, then we certainly are not without sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so what is he calling for here again? Just honesty. Listen, just be honest. Be who you are. Be open. Be vulnerable. Confess your sins. And if you are, he is completely trustworthy. He is very safe. He is faithful and just, and he'll forgive you. You never need to fear and be anxious and afraid in bringing all that falls short in your life to God. He is faithful and just, and he will forgive you for all that you fall short in. He'll wrap his arms around you. He already knows it. The only person that doesn't is you. It's not like, oh, I don't think he knows this. I don't know if I should bring this up. I think he already knows, along with everybody around you. Verse 10. If we claim we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. And then we're going to roll into a couple verses in chapter 2 because it sort of finishes this section. It says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. And so John brings us this notion, says, this is it, God's light. God is light, there's no darkness in him. It's all just exposed, it's all just what it is. And if you try to bring yourself in that which you are not, in that which is artificial, in that which is your own constructed identities or whatever, God will just cut right through it. And you don't have any fellowship with him except when you come who you are. There's sin. There's falling short in your life. It's just where we're at. It's who we are. We're weak. We're broken. But then he says, now I'm writing this to you so that you, I'm writing this so that you won't sin. So this is important. He's saying, you've all got sin in your life. You've all got sin in your life. And he says, but I'm not writing this because we all accept our sin. Yeah, I've got sin. Yeah, that's fine. That's great. No, I'm writing it so you won't sin. And then he's going to talk about forgiveness. Here's why I think light is an important concept to grasp as being what John is talking about. Because here he's telling us, listen, you all sin and God's faithful to forgive you. But as soon as we get done with our verses for today, the whole rest of the book is going to be, and if you have sin in your life, you don't know God. So here it is, if you don't admit you have sin, you don't know God. And then the rest of it's going to be, if you have any sin, you don't know God. You know, wait a minute, that doesn't even fit. John is not talking about sin. He's saying, listen, you guys, you have got to be honest and connect with what God sees. You can't have sin in your life and say it doesn't matter. You can't say you don't have any sin. Neither one of those is true. God is light. He shines on all of it. Just be honest and be real and understand what God sees and live in it. Walk in the light that he walks in. That's how it fits together. And then he says this, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Can you imagine who said this? The guy who watched Jesus stand, kneel down in front of a woman caught in adultery and defend her so thoroughly that everyone left. The man who was called a friend of sinners. The man who encouraged the blind man when everyone criticized him, and he came back and he affirmed him and he supported him. The man that John watched day after day, year after year, defend the weak. He said, that man is my advocate. That man I watched, he is my advocate when I sin. I don't have to go to God and explain it. I don't have to go, this is what happened, God. No. Jesus is my advocate. Jesus goes. And that man will defend me. He is my advocate. When John thought of Jesus being the advocate, understand what he meant when he said those words. Do you need an advocate? Oh, you have one. Do you need someone who believes in you? Do you need someone who is committed to you? Do you need someone who will not let go of your welfare? Do you need someone who will die before he lets something bad happen to you? You have that advocate. You have that advocate. You have that advocate. And he speaks to the Father in your defense. And then he says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And I imagine John standing in the bottom of the cross with Mary, Jesus' mother, and Mary Magdalene, and I don't know who else was there, but we know John was there, and he's standing at the bottom of the cross, and he's watching this guy who could speak to wind and waves, who could speak to the weather, and it would utterly change. And he's looking at me going, you do not have to be up there. I know you don't have to be up there. This perfect life that loved, that cared, that gave, you're hanging there on the cross because this is the expression you want. This is the atoning sacrifice. This is the atoning sacrifice. This sacrifice is enough for my sins. I'm free. Who is talking to us? John, who saw this astonishing life that he struggled so hard. Can I tell you what I saw? Can I tell you? Can I get you there? Can I get your head there? Because it touches your life. And we live 2,000 years later, and God is just a three-letter word to us, and this is all just, at best, doctrinal and theological. And John says, I saw him. I saw him. I saw him. And he's trying to help us see too. God is light. What do you hear in that? What do you hear in that? In him there is no darkness at all. Do you want fellowship with him? Do you want fellowship with him? Or do you want to stay safe in your world of what you've made? Can you be who you are in God's presence? Until you're willing to make that pursuit, you will not have fellowship with God, and it'll all just be religion and theology. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. God wants fellowship with you. That's why he made you. You're only here because he wants to walk with you. That's why he saved you. He only saved you because he wants to walk with you. It isn't like, oh, I want to know God, but he's so distant. No. You are distant. You are distant. He made your inmost being. He knows all about you. And his desire is to draw you close. Will I let him do that with me, or will I be content with my distance?